Welcome to the Christchurch Winchester podcast. For all other talks or to subscribe, please visit ccwinch.org.uk/listen.
The reading is from Matthew 6, verses 5 to 15, and it's on page 970 in the church Bibles. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. It is lovely to be here. That's what I say when I go to other churches to speak. It's lovely to be speaking here this morning. It's great having a 13-year-old son. Just he went off to the classes, he slapped me on the shoulder and just whispered in my ear, "Don't mess this up, Dad." Brilliant. God's space. I think most of us would probably agree that space, any space, is pretty hard to come by these days within the cramped confines of our contemporary lifestyles. What do you think? Whether we're doing paid work or volunteering in the community or looking after the kids or grandkids or studying or throwing yourself into church activities and sometimes doing all of the above and more, space is scarce, isn't it? I wonder how much space you feel you have. Headspace, heart space, space within you, space without. And sometimes it's hard to know what to do with the space, even if we get some, isn't it? We're such purposeful people that we can tend to stuff our space full and thus slowly suffocate instead of breathing its fresh, pure air and letting it do its work. Well, today's passage, I think, reminds us of the importance of what I have been invited to speak on, which is, namely, God's space. And I would like us to consider three very simple pointers in relation to this. First of all, the practice of actually finding God's space. And secondly, the art of being there within the God space. And thirdly, what it means actually to hold the space open for those around us so that when they step into our space, our presence, they can be truly blessed. But first, what I'd like to do is to read you what you almost glimpsed there on the screen, which is the message paraphrase of this passage from Matthew, the middle section of which I think just sums this up absolutely exquisitely. And if it's there to pop up, then brilliant. It's just these words. You may even like to close your eyes as I read these words to you. Here's what I want you to do, says Jesus. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and as honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense God's grace. Let me just read that to you again. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place. Just be there as simply and as honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense God's grace. Lord, may that be so for us this morning. You're very welcome just to keep your eyes closed or to stare into space and allow some of these words to sink in, or just to, there may be one thing in particular that really touches or challenges you this morning, but let's enter space as we go, and we'll have a couple of moments to pause along the way. First of all, finding the space. In the NIV, which we heard Titus read, the version, Jesus tells us to go into our room and close the door, doesn't he? And that's an important detail of literal instruction, isn't it? But it's not always easy if your room just reminds you that it needs tidying, or the email alerts are still going, or if some little people keep coming in through the door to ask you for some food or whatever it is. So I'm sure there's an element of the metaphorical as well to this. And Eugene Peterson therefore writes of finding a quiet, secluded space, which I think is helpful. Perhaps there's a place that you can return to regularly and intentionally, which could be inspiring for you, or which helps you to find space in your schedule, somewhere like a favourite bench, a soulful bench somewhere, or a bit of woodland, or a corner of your garden, or even a little indoor sanctuary like St. Swithin's Church down in town, which is just it's that lovely space which is very inspiring, where you could just go and sit for 10 minutes or so. I wonder where your place might be. And if you don't have one, I wonder where it could be. Find the place and then close the door, which for me, metaphorically, means pay attention. Maybe turn off your phone or close your laptop, take out your earphones, put down your book, whatever it is that you're doing, and summon a certain quality of attention and energy that honours this place of prayer in your life. This space for reconnection with something far greater. I've been drawn recently to some lovely words by the contemplative poet Mary Oliver. And if you haven't come across Mary Oliver, let me commend her writing to you. But she's very often speaking about paying attention. That's something that contemplatives speak of a lot, paying attention. And she was writing about spring. In the spring, she says, I kneel. I put my face into the packets of violets, the dampness, the freshness, the sense of everness. Something is wrong, she says. I know it. If I don't keep my attention on eternity, and maybe for eternity you can also read God there. Attention, she says. Attention is the beginning of devotion. Attention is the beginning of devotion. As we sit or kneel and are present and pay attention, then, as Peterson says, the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense God's grace. It's almost as if God was there all along within that space from the start. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's all very well for you, Mary Oliver or Brian Draper, but I don't have time to kneel and put my face into packets of violets when I've got my face in a whole pile of work emails to do or a pile of laundry that won't get done by anybody else. And that is fair enough, isn't it? Let's be realistic about this. It's fair enough. It's not always easy to find space. And sometimes we go through seasons in which we would love space, but there just does not seem to be anywhere to be found. And maybe you're feeling like that today. So this passage is not meant to be burdensome, even though perhaps it is a challenge for us. It's not meant to be burdensome or condemnatory. And for me, often with the people that I'm working with, I'm often wondering if we can be creative about finding space and paying attention, even and especially when it feels as though there is none to be found. There is a challenge. There is an adventure. So one painfully simple example, perhaps, would be that if you are hurrying to the shops or scurrying back from school or worrying as you dash down the corridor to a work meeting, then you could just take one minute to slow your pace just a little. To slow your pace and perhaps allow God to catch back up with you in those moments. I wonder how Jesus walked as he went from place to place. Something as simple as just walking more slowly can open up a space, really interestingly, within our busyness. You might feel your body relax a little more. You might notice small details which otherwise would have just zipped by in a blur, such as people's faces. And what I've experienced is that when you do something like that, the space within and around you begins to shift subtly. You could simply drink your mid-morning cup of tea without multitasking. Step outside and drink it and taste it and allow 3 minutes of space to open up. Or watch the clouds from a window for 30 seconds. Or just before you have an important meeting or phone call, take 10 deeper breaths just to allow some space to open up. Imagine what the difference would be to the people that you're about to meet if you did that, if you paused, composed, and began to sense God's grace with you before you did it. Imagine the difference it could make. The notes of a melody only gain their definition because they arise from out of stillness and silence and fall back into it. The words of a page gain their clarity, don't they, because of the white space that lies behind it and around it. I love that epigram, God is nowhere, which with the introduction of just the slenderest piece of white space between the W and the H of nowhere becomes God is now here. Just with the introduction of the slenderest bit of space, God is now here, which doesn't mean that God has suddenly deigned to show up like a genie. It means that the God who was there all along, where can I flee from your presence, says the psalmist, we have shown up too by creating some space, a tiny bit of space. Let's pause for a few moments now before we move on to the second section, just to make that space and to become aware of it. You might like to relax your shoulders for a moment. Just relax your body and take a few slightly slower, deeper breaths. And let's notice the space that was here all along and tune in even more deeply to the presence of God, just for 30 seconds. This is the space that lies behind all of our activity, all of our words, all of our noise. Focus shifts from us to God, and we begin to sense God's grace. So first of all, finding space, and then simply being there within it, which sounds a bit too simple, really, doesn't it, for us to take in. Be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. Be there. As simply and honestly as you can manage. Sometimes we gloss over those words. It's easy to gloss over those words. Be there. But there is a whole lifetime's challenge in those two words. It's easy to gloss over them, especially because we often feel we want to make good use of any space that we get. And making good use to us equates to getting things done. But here's a little piece of encouragement from the Episcopal priest and author Barbara Brown Taylor, who is writing about prayer. But I think this chimes in with the idea of being there prayerfully. I love this little passage. Let me read it to you again. You might like to close your eyes and just listen to this. What is prayer, she asks. Prayer is waking up to the presence of God. It's when I'm electrically aware of the tremendous gift of being alive. When I'm able to give myself wholly to the moment I am in. In other words, being there. Then I am in prayer. Prayer is happening and is not necessarily something I am even doing. God is happening, and I am lucky enough to know that I am in the midst. God is happening, and we are in the midst. It's amazing, really. What a beautiful set of words. One little thing, small thing to watch out for here, and that is that alongside busyness, one of the great challenges of today's culture, I think, is that we tend to approach life as consumers first, even as Christians. So we can end up on autopilot, wondering constantly, what can I take from this particular situation, from this relationship, from this opportunity? And that can extend even into the way that we approach our prayer time or our Christian life. What can we take from, what can we get from God from this space? After all, I could be answering emails, so this had better work, this thing. But that's not really what it's about, is it? It's not a quid pro quo with God. Rowan Williams reminds us very delightfully that at our best, we are not consumers of this world, but we are in communion with it. So instead of asking what we can take from the God space, perhaps we can flip it to ask, what can I bring? What can I bring of my true God-given, beautiful self as gift, as simply and as honestly as I can manage? It's a lovely little reminder from John O'Donohue within this as well, who writes so beautifully about the Gaelic phrase anamkara, which means soul friend. And he says that there is great potential at the heart of all life to cultivate a soul friendship with God. A soul friendship with God, which really can change the way that we approach the God space, can't it? Not what we can take, but how we can enter that in full communion. And I love that word, that Hebrew word hineni, which I've mentioned here before, which is a word that's spoken by some of the main protagonists in the great biblical sweep of the Bible. When God calls Abraham, when God speaks to Moses, when God whispers to Samuel in the middle of the night, when God looks around and says, "Whom can I send?" and Isaiah is there, they reply, "Hineni, here I am. Here I am. I bring myself. Here I am, Lord." So why don't we just for a moment pause again, and you might like to close your eyes and entering that God space even more deeply now. And we say, we're not so worried right now about what we can take from it. But here is what we can offer. We bring ourselves into the space and say, "Here we are, Lord." Imagine just for 10 seconds or so, God calling your name. God calling your name. Imagine it in your head. Now just begin to say in your heart, "Here I am. Here I am. Here I am." Within the sanctity of this space, the God space, "Here I am." I think that takes us a little closer to being there as simply and as honestly as we can manage. So we find space. We can be there within it. And finally, I think we have the opportunity to open up God's space around us as shelter and as welcome and as inspiration for those who might then step into that space. Think for a moment of someone in your own life or someone you've had the privilege to meet who somehow lifts you through their very presence. You might stand a little taller when you're with them. Not necessarily because of anything they do or say, but through who and how they are with you. Chances are that they open up a space for you through their very presence into which you can step and begin to feel more alive or accepted or honored or loved. Notice they probably won't be telling you all about themselves or telling you what to do. They will probably listen and pay attention and give themselves to you and to the space between you. I wonder what it would have been like to step into the presence of Jesus. I wonder what is it like to step into the presence of Jesus. Rob and Kristen Bell wrote a book recently about marriage in which they use the wonderfully sounding Hebrew word zimzum, to describe the powerful dynamic space that can be created between two people. In their context, they're talking specifically about marriage, but I'm sure this can broaden out to our relationships with each other and with God. And by the way, zimzum is a verb. And I think that's helpful because the God space isn't some empty passive space where we kick our heels, is it? I think it ties in with the way people like Richard Rohr describe God as a verb, when God is Trinity, as we remember today, when God is Trinity, when God is dynamic community, when God is relationship, when God is love, when God is happening. Back to Zimzum. Zimzum, they write, this is just really lovely. Think about the space between you and others. Zimzum is when you create space for another person to thrive in your life while they're doing the same for you. We, they said, had never heard anyone talk about relationships in terms of the space between you before. But the space has an energy. It has a flow to it. It's almost like an electrical field. The space between you, they say, is responsive, dynamic, exclusive, sacred. There's this thing that's happening. There's this thing that's happening between the two of you. And when you stop to think about it, this thing, this space thing is something really beautiful and to be honored, isn't it? And reverenced. It's true, I can invade your space. I can step right into it and talk about me, myself, and I without taking a breath and without asking you a question. Or I could create such a vast space between us, a bit more likely in my case, that you might as well be in another universe. And those of us who are introverts and those of you who are extroverts, it will play out differently and we can learn from each other, can't we, about honoring the space between us. But what if we could see the space between us as God's space too? A space in which we do indeed, through paying attention, begin to sense God's grace. It's just such a delightful prospect. If the space between us is one in which we are aware that God is happening dynamically, and that it's a space we can participate in together, then wow. Doesn't that change the dynamic? As we draw deep on a Sunday morning from a God space like this, from a beautiful God space, and head back into the busyness of a week of work and volunteering and looking after kids and grandkids and studying and everything else that we're doing, we can take that space with us. Find space. We can find space. We can be there and as honestly as we can manage. And then we can carry that space as welcome, as shelter, as invitation to those who may step into it and begin to sense God's grace at work. God is nowhere. God is now here. God is happening. And what an indescribable honor that here we find ourselves right in the midst. Amen.
Welcome to the Christchurch Winchester podcast. For all other talks or to subscribe, please visit ccwinch.org.uk/listen.